This morning, the message is coming out of Jonah. Jonah had taken some steps, with God, and he's going to do something, and he's walking with God. I'm starting with the slide of Galatians. I'm not starting with those first six or eight slides this morning. In Galatians, it says this: "It is for freedom that you have been set free." And then the Paul goes on to tell the Galatian church that don't let yourself be burdened again or tied up again or become a slave again, because that's not God's plan for you. It's not his plan that you should be bound. It's his plan that you should be free. So don't let those things grab on and push you down and bind you up, is what he's talking about in Galatians. But then Peter tells us there's one out there. Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone he may devour. So your freedom in Christ gets you to have a target on your back, so to speak. Your freedom in Christ gets the enemy alerted that, no, I've lost another. Oh, no, there's another one that stands in freedom. Oh, no, there's another one that Christ has set free. Oh, no, there's another one that's experienced forgiveness. Oh, no, there's another one who has received the power of the Holy Spirit. Oh, no, what am I going to do? The enemy's speaking, of course. And he's looking for someone to devour. Your freedom in Christ has placed a target on your back. Look at John 12 just for a few moments this morning. John 12, it says this. It says, "So the chief priests made plans to kill Lazarus as well, for on account of him, many of the Jews were going over to Jesus and putting their faith in him." You know what Lazarus' problem was? He had been set free, and he wouldn't shut up about it. He had been invited out of the tomb, and his journey with God was driving the enemy crazy. And there is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. And your freedom will display that power. Are you with me this morning? That freedom that you have displays the power of Christ. And the enemy needs to subdue you, because your freedom displays the power of Christ. And so he can't stop that. You already received it. But what he's going to do is push down on you so that you can't display the power of Christ in your life. Does that make sense this morning? And it would behoove us to take notice of that. To take notice that there is an adversary who is not excited about you being freed. There was an adversary who was not excited about Lazarus being set free. Your freedom will cause the enemy to target you. But your freedom plus the next step will bring anxiety to the enemy. He needs you to stop. He needs you to stop. He needs you to shut up. He needs you to stop displaying the power of God in your life. He needs to have you stop talking about the freedom in Christ. He needs to stop talking. He needs you to stop talking about your tomb experience, Lazarus. Just stop. Just stop. And if I can't get you to stop, then I'm going to kill you. That's what he's talking to Lazarus. I always thought it was interesting. You're going to threaten Lazarus with death. I've been there. Been there, done that, got the t-shirt, Lazarus says, right? But the enemy needed to take him out because he wouldn't shut up. Because his next step was one where that power was being displayed. The next step that he took was displaying that power. And the next step was displaying that power. And the next step was displaying that power. And the next step was displaying that power. And many were seeing the power of Christ. And they were turning not to Lazarus. They were turning to Jesus. and the enemy riled up some humanity. And he riles up humanity on a regular basis. And he riled up some humanity and said, "Peace, you need to take out Lazarus." I'm telling you what, they would not have been at Lazarus if he would have just shut up and went back to Bethany and lived his life by himself. And you might have less trouble if you would just shut up about your faith. The next step that you make brings anxiety to the enemy. Your freedom plus your next step. My freedom plus the next step will bring anxiety to my enemy. And I need to realize that even if the next step seems so small that I can hardly recognize the next step is so small, the enemy doesn't care. The next step brings him anxiety. Because your next step, even if it's small, is on the journey to display the power of Jesus in a world that so desperately needs Christ. Small step. Oh, somebody get down there and mess with that guy. Oh, who's going to stop him? And sometimes their steps are so big that they scare even us. And God's asking us to take the next step. The enemy will use whatever is available to stop you from taking the next step. He will use whatever is possible. He will use persons and places and things. He will use fear and he will use comfort. He doesn't care. His job is to stop you. He will use fear. He will use comfort. He will use friends. He will use enemies. He will use belongings. He will use houses. He will use land. He will use lifestyle. He will use sickness. And he will use hardship. Whatever's on the docket, he will use. Because your next step, your freedom, plus your next step, displays the power of Jesus in our world. And when the power of Jesus is displayed in our world, the enemy loses. And he loses, and he loses. In Jonah 1:1-2, it says, "The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai." And this is what he said. I believe that Jonah was standing in freedom, and Jonah was having this conversation. He was hearing from the Lord, and the Lord was doing a mighty work. He had been set free. His zip tie had been cut loose, and he had been set free. And he was looking for the next step that God wanted to do in his life, because he was free, and he wanted to do the next step. And so God says, I want you to do the next step too. So let me bring you the next step. Not just a step, the next step. And he says this, "Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up against me." Ooh. The next step for Jonah was this. God said the next step was for God's messenger to go to Nineveh to reach the lost people with a message from a gracious and forgiving God. Do you think the enemy would have any issue with that? And all of a sudden we say, well, Jonah really screwed it up there. I just want to appreciate the level of spiritual warfare that would have went on at Jonah's moment when he heard that the next step was this one. That next step is, I'm a gracious and loving God, and I want you to go to people who need my grace and need my love. I am a forgiving God, and I want you to go to 600,000 Ninevites, and I want you to tell them that I'm a forgiving God, that I'm a gracious God, and that I love them. The step was monumental. It was not your run-of-the-mill, everyday, ordinary step. It was a big step. The step was big. The step was risky. The step would have unchangeable consequences. And I'm telling us right now that every step that God tells us to take, invites us to take, has unchangeable consequences. And the enemy knew that if Jonah stepped that way, that he was going to lose this battle, Because the man of God, the woman of God, who stands in the freedom and in the power of Jesus, taking the next step with Jesus, is unstoppable by the enemy. Unless he can throw enough things in your way to get you off the trail, because he needs to get you off the trail, because if you stay on the trail, you're unstoppable. The enemy's anxiety would have been going through the roof when Jonah got that word. And Jonah was tempted to resist and the next step for just a step. And Jonah was at the corner of the next step and a step. He was at the corner of Nineveh and anywhere else in this world. Jonah was at the corner of Nineveh and anywhere else in this world. And Jonah succumbed to the temptation and he chose anywhere else in this world. The enemy got him off the trail. I believe over and over and over in my life that the enemy gets me off the trail and desires to get me off the trail on a regular basis. And he will use whatever it takes to get me off the trail. Fear or comfort. Because when you stand in the power of Christ and you're invited to take that next step with God and it demonstrates the power of Christ, the enemy's anxiety goes through the roof. And no anxiety medicine is going to do a drop of good for him. And we know the story of Jonah. If you don't, you can watch the VeggieTales on YouTube. They do a great depiction of the story of Jonah. Jonah takes the trail away from where God wants him to go. He takes a step, but he didn't take the step. And he's out on the boat, and you know the story, and the waves, and they were losing everything, and they were throwing things over, and they were trying to row, and these were seasoned guys, and they couldn't get out of the storm, and Jonah is sleeping. Don't tell me the enemy won't comfort you when you're supposed to be riled.
Come on now.
They finally wake Jonah up and say, "What in the world? What God do you serve? Cry out to your God. Maybe it's the right God. We don't know. We're crying out to this God and that God and this God and that God and Jim's God and Bill's God and Sam's God and Ed's God. And Jonah, cry out to your God." And he says, "I serve Yahweh, the living God," and they began to tremble. And Jonah says, "You're going to need to throw me overboard." And we can go a long time on this, that word. But I believe Jonah says, "I've got off the step too much with God. I am unsavable. I don't even know if I want to take that step with God. Maybe it's going to cost me too much." The enemy's pounding him. Can you imagine the spiritual warfare in that moment? Kill yourself. Kill yourself. Kill yourself, Jonah. Tell him to throw you in the water. Drown, Jonah. Drown. Because if I can get you to drown right now, you'll never be tempted to take another step with God. And Jonah picks him up and throws him into the water. But the Lord says, "Not on my watch." But the Lord provided a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was inside the fish for 3 days and 3 nights. Talk about a ride at Disney World. From inside the fish, verses now chapter 2, lopping over into chapter 2. From inside the fish, Jonah prayed to the Lord his God. He said, "In my distress, I called to the Lord, and he answered me." I almost get the sense when I study this out, like, wow, he answered me. I thought maybe I screwed up too much in life that God wouldn't even answer me. Wrong answer. See, that's another ploy of the enemy. Woo, man, you are screwed up. Do you know what you've done in your past? Do you know how many times you walked against God? Jonah took a risk. And he cried out to his God. He said, in my distress, I called out to the Lord, and he answered me. I mean, he's going to be, woo! From the depths of the grave, I called out for help, and you listened to my cry. You hurled me into the deep, into the very heart of the sea, and the current swirled around me. All your waves and breakers swept over me. I said, I have been banished from your sight, yet I will take a risk here and look toward your holy temple. The engulfing waters threatened me. The deep surrounded me. The seaweed was wrapped around my head. To the root of the mountain I sank down. The earth beneath barred me in forever. But you brought my life up from the pit, O Lord my God. Yahweh my Elohim. The fish was not sent to finish Jonah off. The fish was sent to free Jonah. The fish was sent by God to take him out of the mess that his actions and his giving into the temptation and his unwillingness perhaps to take the step, but just take a step. And this loving God, this gracious loving God, this God who wants to forgive, sent this giant fish. I'd love to hear arguments. Well, there in our world, there is no fish that can swallow a human. You need to get out of your world then, because in God's world there is. And God rescued Jonah. And freed him from the seaweed, and freed him from the water, and freed him from where he was sinking deeper and deeper and deeper. The fish was freedom for Jonah. And now inside of this fish, he stands inside of his freedom once again. And look what happens. And when my life, verse 7 in chapter 2, when my life was ebbing away, know what that means? When I was dying, when my life was ebbing away, I remembered you, Lord, and my prayer rose to your holy temple. I don't know where you're at this morning, but I think in the next two or three verses, Jonah's going to say, people of new life, if you want to take the next step, here's what you need to do. Because inside of my freedom, what you think inside of the fish, but that was freedom for me. And inside of my freedom, I had the clearest mind that I've ever had. And I called out to God. If you want to take the next step with God, we need to talk with God. Because the next step will come from God. Oh, you can get a step, but you can't get the step. You can take a step with your own flesh. This is the way I feel. This is the way I think. This is the way that I've been taught. And all those things in my life have showed themselves not worthy to be fully trusted. Jonah says, if you're going to take the next step with God, you're going to need to talk with God. I will talk with God because the next step will come from God. Do you want to take the next step with God? Do you want to take the next step with God? Then you're going to need to talk. I'm going to need to talk with God. I'm going to need to spend time talking with God. And not spending time giving God my grocery list, and not spending time telling God how it should be, and not spending time telling God he's messed up in my life, just talking with God. And listening to him. Will you talk with God? The enemy's going to be all over you, I'm telling you right now. And he's going to pull all the stops. Because you're dangerous when you stand in your freedom and you take the next step. And that freedom displays the power of Christ in your world. You're going to find yourself perhaps in a Lazarus situation where the world's trying to take you out. Those who cling to worthless idols forfeit the grace that could be theirs, is what Jonah says. Just so we know, this is from inside the fish, inside his freedom. He gets his clarity. I will not hold on to stuff anymore, he said. I looked up the word stuff. You know what one of the definitions for stuff, it's beautiful. Push the button, it's the next. To fill a dead animal's skins with material to make it look lifelike and suitable for display. I'm telling you what, if this world don't stuff us to give us the appearance of that we're alive and that we can be on display, and it'll take all the stuff you can get, all the stuff that you have, all the stuff and more stuff and more stuff and more stuff and more stuff and shove it into you and shove it into you and shove it into you. Oh, you'll look alive. You will only be good for display. But a deer has been to the taxidermy. He's not eating any corn anymore. He's just full of stuff. And Jonah says, if you're going to walk with God, you got to not eat the stuff. You can't let this world stuff you. You can't let your flesh stuff you. You can't let the enemy stuff you. He'll stuff you to death. I will remember that stuff is just stuff and not life-giving, because stuff will cloud and hinder the next step. Your stuff's in the way. It is at times. Its stuff is in the way. Your stuff is in the way. And my stuff is in the way. And when you start getting unstuffed, so to speak, we're going to see clearer and hear from God. Let go of that. Man, I've had that a long time, God. I know. You need to let go of it. And I want that, God. I know you want it. And it's not bad. You can have it, but it's just stuff. It's just stuff. I'm not saying it's not good. It's just not stuff. It's stuff. It's jamming you up. You need to remember that stuff, and this is Jonah talking to me. You need to remember that stuff is stuff. And it's not worthy to be trusted by you, because it will cloud and hinder the next step. We only have the capacity to hang on to so much. And when we pack it with stuff, we don't have the ability to hang on to what God wants to give us. What stuff are you hanging on to today? What stuff is hindering you? Just close your eyes just for 1 second. In Jesus' name, bring things to our mind that's our stuff, God, and we need to let go of. Whatever you just thought of, is put it on your list. Whatever you just thought of, put it on your list, because it's probably that. And already you're trying to figure out a way to keep it. Or maybe I'm just looking in the mirror at that moment. Woe to those who cling to worthless idols. They forfeit the grace that could be theirs. Continuing in verse 8. Those who cling to worthless idols forfeit the grace that could be theirs. Here's a beautiful definition of grace. Grace is a dimension of divine activity that enables God to confront human indifference and rebellion with an inexhaustible capacity to forgive and to bless. They forfeit that. Just so we know, any stuff you have is not near the value of that. Because you're not just forfeiting something, you're forfeiting the grace that could be yours. Because you only have so much, and I only have so much room to hang on. Neither I'm going to hang on to my stuff or hang on to God's grace. And Jonah, from inside the whale, inside a fish. But more importantly, standing in his freedom. Don't cling to worthless idols. I will grasp God's grace. Push the button, please. I will grasp God's grace. I will grasp God's grace, because the next step will be fueled by that grace. Just so we know. Hang on here. Just so you know, the next step will not be fueled by your stuff.
it'll be fueled by God's grace.
Verse 9, but I will sing a song of thanksgiving with sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will make good. Salvation comes from the Lord. The sacrifice of a song of thanksgiving. Romans 12 tells us this. It says, therefore I urge you in view of God's mercy to offer yourself as a living sacrifice. To sit on my altar, just with songs of praise, just with songs of thanksgiving, just sit on my altar, and maybe just cry out, Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I love to sing your praises. I'm Can we just sit on the altar and sing songs of praise? I'm not trying to figure out anything else right now. I'm just going to sit on this altar and offer myself as a living sacrifice. I will set myself on the altar, on your altar, Lord. And will sing praises. Because only on your altar will I know and have the courage to take the next step. If you think you're going to take the next step without courage, just let me tell you that you're not. Big or small, it's all saturated in courage. And the enemy will endeavor to stop you. Verse 9 again it says, But I with a song of thanksgiving will sacrifice to you what I have vowed I will make good. Salvation comes from the Lord. When I fulfill my vow, what he's saying there is that God, I'm going to walk in obedience. I will determine to walk in your way, Lord. I will determine to walk in your way, Lord, because any other way is a step and not the step. I will determine, but don't try to determine until you burn the altar. Because if you try to determine without being on the altar, you don't have enough determination without being on the altar of God. Only there will he infuse you with the ability to determine the obedience to walk with God. We're not trying to get it right enough so God will notice us. We are sinning in him. He already notices us. He infuses us with the power to walk in determination, to walk in obedience with him. But I, with a song of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you what I have vowed. I will make good. Salvation comes from the Lord. Salvation is from the Lord. Salvation there, that word means free, keep, propel. Freedom, being kept, and being moved forward is from God. Salvation, it says in Acts 4 and 12, that salvation is found in no one else. I will remember that salvation is found in no one else Because the next step, push the button, because the next step can be and will be challenging. Look what verse 10 says. And the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto the dry land. Just so you know, his freedom just produced more freedom. I always thought of that, man, that must have been a disgusting pile of something. But God says your freedom and the next step equals the display of the power of Jesus equals the next step of freedom. The next step of freedom will display the power of Christ, and it'll produce more freedom. And more freedom and more display of the power. And more freedom and more display of the power. No wonder the enemy gets anxious when we think about the next step. The word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time. You can see it ends, and the Lord commanded the fish to vomit him up on the shore. That's the end of that chapter. In this one it says, then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message I give you. You may have been up against the next step for several times. And you took a long journey around that next step. And you've been taking thus steps and thus steps and thus steps. And you've been going around and around and around taking all thus steps and thus steps and thus steps and thus steps. And you come back this morning and say, I'm going to determine this morning. I'm going to take the next step with God. Don't be surprised if you heard the same thing you heard last week. Because the next step is not just a step. It is the next step. Carry this message of this loving, gracious, forgiving God to the Ninevites, all 600,000 of them. The next step is still the next step. It's not any easier. It's not any different, perhaps. Will we make the next step? We're going to need to talk with God. We're going to remember that stuff can get in the way. And when God says get rid of the stuff, I don't want you to just look like you're alive. I want you to be alive. I want you to grab a hold of my grace. I want you to set yourself on my altar. I want you to make this determination that you will walk out your faith with me. And I want you to remember that salvation, this freedom, this keeping, and this propelling in your life comes from me. Will you walk it out with me? Where are we at today? I got no zip ties today. So let me end with something like this. Wherever you're standing right now, I don't care who you are. I don't care where you've been. I don't care if, I just don't care. I mean, I care about you, okay? There is a next step. There is the next step in front of you today. Nobody's leaving here thinking, man, I hope John heard that. Because I am certain that every one of us has the next step in front of us. Are you anxious to get it? Are you excited? I want that to build in us. Your next step, your freedom, plus your next step makes the enemy anxious. But your freedom and your next step displays the power of Jesus in your life. Stand with me. There is power in the name of Jesus. And the same power that conquered the grave lives in me. So, Father, in Jesus' name, I pray that every next step, every one of them in this room would be clear right now. I'm not going to say it's easy. It's not easy, because we're going to need to spend time talking with you and grabbing onto your grace and getting rid of some stuff and being fueled by you and allowing you to work and are responding in obedience. But we're going to take the next step. Father, we're done with a step. We're going to take the next step. All of us. So, Father, don't let us put it down. Don't let us put it down. Let this thought get into our head and let them grow and grow and grow and run around, not rampant, organized in our heads and in our souls and in our hearts, so that we will take the next step with you. Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for the time that we get to spend together. So, Father, here we go. We're going to be released now. A bunch of the next steppers are going to be released now back into our families and back into this world that so desperately needs Jesus. So help us. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a good day.